chapter 44, subject killing of Kamsa. In this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the killer of Madhusudan, after such determination, came in front of Chanura. Clearly, Lord Baladeva, the son of Rahini, also came in front of Mustika. Now these two pairs, first pair Krishna and Chanura, and the second pair Baladeva and Mustika, joined themselves hand to hand, leg to leg, and each one of them began to press the other with a view to come out victorious. Thereafter, according to the resting art, they joined them, palm to palm, tap to tap, head to head, chest to chest. In this way, each one began to strike the other in order to come out victorious. As the energy increased for fighting, the process of going around to push one from one place to another, again to capture one, and sometimes to throw down on the ground, and sometimes leaving one go backside, and again resting in the palm side. This way, the fighting energy increased step by step, picking up, then dragging on, then pushing on, joining the legs and hands together. All these different arts of wrestling were perfectly exhibited by the parties, and in order to come out victorious, one party tried his best to cut down his opponent to the best capacity. But the audience in the wrestling arena were not very much satisfied, because the combatants were not of the same level. They considered Krishna and Balaram were merely boys, whereas the wrestlers, Chanu and Musti, were the strongest wrestlers, as solid as the stone. This way, being compassionate in favor of Krishna and Balaram, they gathered together and began to talk as follows. My dear friends, in this assembly there is injustice, because even in the front of the king, the wrestling fighting is going on between two incompatible parties. The audience have lost their sense that they are encouraging this fighting between the strong and the weak. The Mustis and Chanur have just like thunderbolts, as strong as the great mountain, and Krishna and Balaram are two delicate boys of very, very tender age. In this assembly, therefore, the principle of justice has already gone. We should not, therefore, remain in this assembly of injustice. Persons who are aware of the civilized principles of justice, they should not have entered this arena of incompetent wrestling. Everyone taking part in this wrestling match are not very much enlightened, and therefore either they speak or do not speak, they are being subjected to the reaction of sinful activities. Still, my dear friends, just look on the face of Krishna by the drops of perspiration on his face on account of his chasing his enemy. His face appears exactly like the lotus flower with drops of water. Another says, don't you see how the face of Lord Balaram has turned very beautiful on account of pink reflection on his white face, because he is engaged in strong wrestling match with Mustik. Another lady addressed his friend and began to say, my dear friend, just imagine how much fortunate is the land of Vrindavan, where the Supreme Personality Godhead himself was present, being decorated with flower garlands and engaged in tending cows along with his brother, Lord Baladev, as well as his cowherd boyfriend, simultaneously playing on his transcendental flute. The residents of Vrindavan are so much fortunate that they constantly can see the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, worshipped by a big demigod like Lord Shiva and the goddess of fortune also. We cannot, of course, estimate how much pious activities were executed by the dancers of Brajabhumi, the gopis, so that they are able to enjoy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by looking on His unparalleled beauty of transcendental body. There is no comparison of the beauty of the Lord, and nobody is on the higher or equal level of the Lord in the matter of their complexion and luster of the body. Krishna and Balaram are the reservoir of all kinds of opulence, namely wealth, fame, beauty, knowledge, renunciation, and strength. Gopis are so fortunate that they can see and think of Krishna 24 hours, beginning from the time of their milking the cows, or husking the paddy, or churning the butter in the morning, or being engaged in cleansing their house, popping their floors. They are always absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. Instance of the gopis is a perfect example how one can continue Krishna consciousness even if he is in his different types of material engagement. By constantly being absorbed in the thought of Krishna, nobody can be affected by the contamination of material activities. Gopis are therefore perfectly in trance, samadhi, the highest perfectional point of a mystic power. In the Bhagavad Gita, therefore, it is confirmed that anyone who is constantly in thought of Krishna is a first-class yogi amongst all kinds of yogis. My dear friend, you must accept the gopis as the highest performer of pious activities, otherwise how they could achieve this opportunity of seeing Krishna both morning and evening while going to the pasturing ground with his cows and cowherd's boyfriend, and again returning in the evening with them, playing on his throat and smiling very brilliantly. Next paragraph. Lord Krishna, the super soul of every living being, when he understood that the ladies and women assembled in the assembly were too much anxious for him, at that time he decided not to continue the wrestling anymore, but kill the wrestler immediately. While the ladies were discussing about the injustice of the wrestling match, parents of Krishna and Balaram, namely Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, Vasudev, and they became very much anxious about the life of their boys, because they did not know the unlimited strength of their children. Lord Baladev also was fighting with the mystic wrestler exactly in the same manner as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was fighting and wrestling with Chanur. Then Lord Krishna appeared to be very cruel upon Chanur and immediately struck him thrice, by which the dead wrestler became loosened in his bodily contraction and by the abhorrence of the audience. The Chanur wrestler then took his last chance and slapped upon Krishna just like the hawk bird falls upon another. In this way, folding his two hands, he began to strike on the chest of Krishna. But Lord Krishna was not even slightly disturbed by such striking, exactly like the elephant who is taken by a flower garland is never disturbed. But Krishna took this opportunity of capturing the Chanur wrestler by his two hands and began to whirl him all round. Simply by this centrifugal action, the life of Chanur became immediately finished. Krishna immediately thrown him on the ground. Chanur fell on the ground exactly like the flag of Indra, and all his nicely decorated ornaments became scattered hither and thither. In this way, the mustik wrestler also struck Baladev ji, and Baladev ji also returned the stroke with great force, and thus the mustik wrestler began to tremble and ooze out blood vomiting from the mouth, and thus being too much distressed, he gave up his vital force and fell down exactly like the tree falls down on account of hurricane. After the two wrestlers, namely Chanur and Mustik, being killed, then another wrestler of the name Uta came forward, and Lord Balaram immediately caught him by his left hand, and with great negligence he killed him immediately. After this, another wrestler of the name Shala came forward, and Krishna immediately kicked on his head, and the head became cracked. Thereafter, another wrestler came, whose name is Toshal. He was also killed in the same way, without any difficulty. In this way, all the great wrestlers, namely Chanur, Mustik, Koot, Shal, Toshal, were killed by Krishna and Balaram. The remaining wrestlers, out of the fear of their life, began to flee away from the assembly. All the cowherd's boys, friends of Krishna and Balaram, then approached them and began to congratulate, and Krishna and Balaram, in great pleasure, were enjoying the company of his friends. While trumpet for their victory was being beaten, the leg belts on the foot of Krishna and Balaram were also tingling. All people gathered there began to clap in great ecstasy, and nobody could estimate the bounds of their pleasure. And the Brahmins who were present in the camp, they also began to eulogize Krishna and Balaram with great ecstasy. Only Kamsa, he was morose, and he neither clapped neither offered any benediction to Krishna. Kamsa did not like that the triumphant drum should be beaten on account of Krishna's victory. He was rather sorry that all the wrestlers were killed and the remaining wrestlers fled away from the assembly. Therefore, he immediately stopped all such band playing and began to address his men as follows. I order that these two sons of Vasudev must be immediately driven out of Mathura, and all the cowherd's boys who have come with him should be plundered and taken away, all the riches. And so far, Nanda Maharaj is concerned, he should immediately be arrested and be killed for his cunning behavior. And the rascal Vasudev should also be killed without any delay, and so also my father Ugrasen, who has always supported my enemies against my will. When Kamsa was speaking nonsense like this, Lord Krishna became very much angry upon him, and thusly, within a second, he jumped over the high sitting dais of the king Kamsa. Kamsa was already ready for his being attacked by Krishna, and he also knew from the beginning that he was the supreme cause of his death. Immediately took out his sword from the sheath for protection, was ready to answer the challenge of Krishna with his sword and sheath. When Kamsa was wielding his sword up and down, hither and thither, Lord Krishna, the supreme powerful, immediately caught hold of him with great force. After this, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is shelter of the complete creation, and from whose lotus navel the whole creation is manifested, immediately moved the helmet from the head of Kamsa and captured his long hair by his hand. With great force, Lord Krishna dragged Kamsa from his seat to the wrestling dais, and when he fell down, Krishna immediately got over his chest and thus began to strike him over and over again. Simply by the strokes of his fist, Kamsa lost his vital force, and Lord Krishna, in order to make believe his parents that Kamsa is already killed, he began to drag him exactly like the lion who drags the elephant after killing it. Immediately there was a great roaring sound from all sides, expressing their jubilation and lamentation differently. From the very beginning, since the day Kamsa heard that he would be killed by the eighth son of Devaki, you are always thinking of Krishna with his will in the hand, and because he was always very much afraid of his death, he was thinking of Krishna in that form 24 hours without any stoppage, even while he was eating, while he was walking, while he was breathing. Naturally, he got the advantage of being liberated. In the Bhagavad Gita, there is a statement, sada tadbhava bhavita, which means a person is always absorbed in thought of something, gets his next life according to that thinking. So Kamsa was thinking of Krishna with his will. Krishna with his will means Narayana, a form where not only it will, but also conscience, lotus flower and club. Therefore, according to the opinion of authorities, Kamsa after death attained Sarupa Mukti. Sarupa Mukti means liberation attaining the form of Narayana, as the Vishnu Dutas. The Vaikuntha planet, all the inhabitants have the same feature of the body as Narayana. In other words, Kamsa, after his death, got the liberation of being promoted in the Vaikuntha Loka. In this instance, we can understand that a person who thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead even as enemy, he also gets liberation and place in Vaikuntha planet, And what to speak of, the pure devotees were always absorbed in the thought of Krishna. What to speak of Krishna, Kamsa was always thinking of Krishna. An enemy of Krishna who is suddenly killed by Krishna, he also gets liberation and is placed in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti situation. Supreme Personality of Godhead being all good, anyone thinking of him either as enemy or as friend gets liberation. But the liberation of the devotee and the liberation of the enemy are not the same. These enemies generally, they get liberation of sadhujya and sometimes sarupa. After the death of Kamsa, he had 8 brothers aided by Kanka. All of them were younger than him, and when they learned that the elder brother is killed, all of them combined together rushed toward Krishna to kill him in great anger. Kamsa and his brothers all were Krishna's maternal uncles. They are all brothers of Krishna's mother, Devaki. Krishna killed Kamsa, that means he killed his maternal uncle, which is against the regulation of Vedic injunction. But Kamsa could not be killed by anyone else except Krishna. Therefore, he was obliged to kill him, but so far his other 8 brothers were concerned. Baladev took the charge of killing them. Although Krishna is independent of all Vedic injunction, still only in inevitable cases he violates the Vedic injunction. Balaram's mother, Rohini, although she was wife of Vasudev, she did not happen to be the sister of Kamsa. Therefore, all other Kamsa's brothers were taken charge for killing by Baladev. He therefore immediately took some weapon available, most probably the tusk of the elephant which he carried. With that weapon, he killed all the 8 brothers one after another, exactly like a lion kills a flock of deer. When Krishna and Balaram thus corroborated their statement of appearance, namely, the Supreme Personality Godhead appeared for giving protection to the pious and for killing the impious demons who are always enemies of the demigods, the demigods from the higher planetary system began to shower flowers, congratulating the action of Krishna and Balaram. Amongst the demigods, there were such powerful personalities like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, and all of them joined together in exhibiting their jubilation on this occasion. From the heavenly planet were beating of drums, showering of flowers, and the wives of the demigods began to dance in ecstasy. Next verse. Then the wives of Kamsa and other 8 brothers became too much aggrieved on account of their husband's death, and all of them began to shed tears like torrents of rain and striking on their foreheads on account of death of their respective husbands. All the dead bodies were lying on state, as it is usual for the royal orders, and all their wives were crying very loudly, embracing their respective bodies of husband. The wives of Kamsa and his brother began to lament, addressing the dead bodies, "My dear husband, you are so kind. You are the protector of your dependents. Now, after your death, we are also dead along your home and children. That we are no more looking very auspicious. Similarly, on account of your death, the auspicious function which we have to take here as the sacrifice of bow, now the whole thing is spoiled. My dear husband, you ill-treated with persons who are faultless, and as a result of such action, you have gained this condition of life. This is inevitable, because a person who pleases another innocent person must be punished by the laws of nature. We know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Master of everything. He is the supreme enjoyer of everything. Therefore, anyone who neglects his authority can never be happy, ultimately meets death like you. Next paragraph. After this, Krishna, being very much kind and affectionate to his aunts, began to solace them as it was possible. Then all the ritualistic ceremonies after death were performed, were conducted under the personal supervision of Krishna, because he happened to be the nephew of all the dead princes. After finishing this business, Krishna and Balaram immediately released their father Vasudev and Devaki, who were interned by Kamsa. Krishna and Balaram on their feet and offered prayers to their parents, because they suffered so much trouble because Krishna was their son.